Grace, mercy, peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Our text is one verse from the Gospel. You've already heard it. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. This is our text. Our life is filled with choices. I mean, you don't believe me? Just go to Walmart and meander down the cereal aisle or the bread aisle. Fact is, many people in this world have only one choice. Do you want bread or not? Do you want this cereal or not? I mean, that same abundance of choices, it can also be witnessed in the world of medicine. If you have an ache or a pain, there are any number of options to choose from. Again, if you don't believe me, meander down the aisle of Walgreens or Walmart. Yeah, that's right, you got a whole aisle filled with different options to treat a cough or a headache. I mean, of course, we also know that there are limitations to medicinal options, aren't there? Your choices and your options drastically shrink the rarer and the more serious the condition that you have. Then you have to listen to those ones that are advertising on television. If you have this, then you need to then say you want this pill. I mean, the fact is you can't just wander into a Walgreens and you don't have your pick of 40 types of chemotherapy or radiation, do you? No. When it comes down to a heart transplant, you don't get a menu and then decide whose heart you'll graciously receive. No, it comes down to very basic, get the transplant or die. Get the chemo treatments or die. And we don't get too picky when the options are so few and so serious, do we? But have you ever noticed how this very same American notion of freedom of choice has also trespassed into matters of faith and salvation? How often do we treat matters of faith and salvation like a trip down the cereal aisle? I mean, we choose one church out of many simply because their commercial caught our eye. The advertising swayed us. The building was pretty. Whenever I hear some of the crazy reasons why people choose a church, well, I like the kitchen facilities, or they have stadium seating, or they have a surround sound theater experience. They have a coffee bar. And I have to shake my head. And inwardly, I hear the words often attributed to the late P.T. Barnum, there's one born every minute. Brings us to an interesting question, doesn't it? Is there really a choice to be made when it comes to remedying that sinful, deadly condition that infects us? Well, I guess might depend on how serious you consider sin to be. I mean, for some, sin is nothing more than, an abstract concept, a bad decision, a poor choice. And the options available with that understanding of sin are wide and varied. The easiest, well, I can simply choose to do better or choose to do good. Or maybe even choose to not even acknowledge that sin is real. And others will acknowledge that sin is serious. And it's a sickness that plagues us. But yet, they still see it as something like a cold. I mean, overall, you're generally happy and healthy. But as your spiritual immunity weakens, you make mistakes, and you end up catching or stumbling into sin. And here's where the abundance of those over-the-counter remedies and self-medicating practices make themselves known. I mean, if you have a particular sinful ache or ailment, somebody out there, sure, I'm guessing, has a surefire elixir that'll numb your pain and cure what you think is ailing you. I mean, just shop around. You'll find something that suits you, suits your schedule, suits your taste better, and your budget. But I need to tell you something. All of those sinful, cold-like aches, pains, and coughs in life, when they're left unchecked, they have the possibility of turning into something deadly. I mean, think about it. What does Scripture tell us about sin? It may come as a surprise to you that God's view of sin and man's view of sin don't match up. St. Paul tells us in his letter to the Romans that sin entered into the entire world through one man, Adam, and death entered with it. And we're also taught that the wages of sin is death, and all people have sinned, that all people fall short of the glory of God, meaning that all people are sinners and are dead before God. Understand, I'm not just talking about physical death, although that's the most recognizable portion of the wage of sin, but the wages of sin is a complete and eternal death. It's a complete absence of life from our Lord and the source of eternal life, Jesus Christ. And so I'm going to ask you again, does Scripture make sin sound like one of those conditions that there's a whole lot of options available for the cure? Or does it sound more like it's this or death? Consider what Jesus says himself in our gospel lesson for this morning. This is eternal life, that they, believers, know you, the Father, as the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Notice what Christ doesn't say. He doesn't say that the Father and the Son are one of many options or choices that are available to receiving eternal life. Jesus doesn't treat his gift of eternal life like one, just like one of many products sitting on the shelves at Walmart. He doesn't even say that the Father and the Son are the best option in matters pertaining to eternal life and salvation, as if God is like a certain medicine that only requires you to take one dosage instead of multiple dosages that you'd have to take with the other brands. Nope. Christ is neither one option among many, nor is he the best option among many. He is the one and the only option. He says himself that eternal life consists of this, and this alone, knowing and trusting in the Father and the one whom the Father has sent, Jesus Christ. Sounds pretty exclusive, doesn't it? My brothers and sisters in Christ, the cure for sin is only remedied in the blood of Christ, the blood which he has already poured out from his cross for all of us. There's not even a choice to be made. Jesus Christ chose to save you by dying on his cross for you. And sadly, many people will never hear or know the cure for what truly ails them, simply because they're never going to hear just how deadly their sin really is, and how Christ alone is the sole remedy and source of life and salvation. I know that you have many choices nowadays. I mean, even within the Lutheran Church, when it comes to where and how you worship God. Some are good, only different. Some are not good. They're placebos. They're snake oil. They're akin to drugs, giving you a short high, but offering you nothing in terms of sustenance, healing, or life. You have many choices in terms of worship, but you don't have a choice when it comes to how you are saved from the death of sin. Jesus is the one and only cure. It's His word and His alone that saves and gives life to the person who's dead in their sin. And His word must be heard. Keep in mind, no one ever said that making Christ known to the world was going to be an easy or rewarding job. As I've often said, life will be tough when you're faithful in proclaiming the truth to a world that doesn't even acknowledge anything other than different personal opinions and menu choices. But take heart, because as we see in this morning's lesson, Jesus is praying and He is interceding for us, that we would be strengthened in our faith and our courage to make His word known to the world. Because it's in His word that's being proclaimed. It's His word that's bringing life to people this very day throughout the world. He's speaking through the likes of ordinary people, like pastors and Sunday school teachers, like each and every one of you, my fellow baptized and redeemed children of God. God has given you His gift, given you His life-saving word in your baptisms, the completely free and unmerited gift of eternal life in Christ. And I pray that He'll give you the strength and the courage to speak and to share that life-giving cure of Christ with a world that is truly dead, not just sick, not just ailing, but truly dead in its sin. May God grant you His blessings. May He keep you safe as we reflect on our baptism, on the fact that He put His name on us, the fact that He knows each and every one of us by name, that we can be united with the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I pray as we come to the Lord's altar that His body and blood might strengthen us in our faith, that His forgiveness would be upon us, that we might be strengthened, that we could live for Him. In His name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, may it keep our hearts and our minds in the true faith in Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen.